thanks, man. So I'm excited today for a few different reasons. Number one, I was getting ready for the day, and I realized that I definitely have my first couple of white grayish hairs in my beard. I'm like, yes, it's amazing. Because it's good. It's good because, you know, age is a good thing. Yeah, you're probably like, it's easy for you to say, like, you know, I'm not getting any amens in this place, I'm not sure why, but age is a good thing, because age in him is just, it's age old, yet it's so young, and it's, our youth is renewed, and he's amazing. So I'm not afraid of no whites, okay? I like my white hairs coming, and honestly, it's like a, I don't know, I'm going to feel so wise, you know, when I have that. I don't even know where I put my Bible. So check this out. So I was making notes for today. Sometimes I have notes, sometimes I don't, but this time I had notes. And this morning I was kind of, shoring up some things, and the Lord was like, just simplify it and just get rid of most of it. So I was like, okay, I'll get rid of most of it. And then sometimes, sometimes you just need a couple notes just to keep you on the right direction. Because most of you who know me, I kind of have to... got to stay on course. And so I went to go get my notes out of my digital technology, and my notes are gone. So this is like the second time he's done this to me. So thank you, Lord. we have this kind of relationship where he's like, Evan, you know, like a little pat in the butt, just go get them, son. You know, you do the thing that I've put in you, and my word is complete in you, so you need to deliver it the way it's going to come out of your relationship with me and out of your love for your brothers and sisters. So isn't that cool? Yay. Easier for you to say. I'm just kidding. It's good. So with that, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for what you have in store today. And all I could ask for, Lord, is that we would love and we'd love well, and that these words would be something that could encourage, exhort, sharpen, and benefit us all, Lord. We're here for you. We're here as one. Let us not forget that we are one in the body, in Christ. In Jesus' name. Okay, so a couple of housekeeping things to start. Number one is, if you go back there, there's a little Amazon box. And inside the Amazon box are some onions. Those are for you if you'd like some. Let me explain. So... we love our garden at our place, as you know. So there are, those onions are called Egyptian or walking onions. They call it walking onions because instead of having onions that you harvest from the bottom, although you can, they get these little pearl onions at the top of the stalk. Like, you know, you get those green onions, little pearl onions form at the top, and then it gets too heavy and it just falls over and then starts a new plant. So walking onions. They are perennial onion. They come back every year. And they're almost maintenance free, super easy, just a little bit of water maybe. So if you have a spot that gets a little bit of water, you know, off of your sprinkler system, like you guys, right? I gave Gary and Nancy some, and you know, they wouldn't describe themselves as exactly having a green thumb. They're flourishing beautifully. You know, there's like a little bit of backlog in the sprinkler system, just gets just enough water, and they're like really happy. They could even give you some too. So if you want any, there's some in the back. You can grab them. You can plant them. They're like little bulbs, so you just break them apart. Should I just show you one? Is anyone interested in these? Raise your hand if you're interested. Okay. All right. Cool. So I know I'm not doing this for nothing. This is what we do in church. Okay, I could spend 10 minutes doing this. Okay, so they look like this, and if you're able to see closely, they're just like a compilation of just a cluster of little pearl onions. So to plant them, we have to get like a lapel mic, man. This is all right. So here's the plant right here. So this is the onion. This is the orangey that's going to grow from. Just you know, dig a little hole a couple inches deep and plant it, water it, keep it wet the first season, and you'll have them forever, and you'll be giving them away to other people next year. Okay, number two is, I just wanted to talk one more time and just bring reassurance to what we talked about last time, which is what I talked about the time before that, which is about end times eschatology. I kind of, you know, went on a two-week Rampage. It would have been three. There would have been more details, but I've decided to just cut that one short. There's a time, and there's a good time, and there's a good place, and apparently it's not quite there. So I just wanted to offer to you, if you want to have me come and discuss, or I could take you out to lunch or coffee and we can discuss further. I would love to do that because I love this conversation. The reason why I'm bringing this up now is I just wanted to close this series out by saying that it's really like we can discuss and even hopefully not argue in an unfriendly way, but argue details all we want, okay, the details. But the heart behind it is the fact that God's kingdom is now, guys, and Christ reigns. And if we are in him, we are to rule and reign with him in this life. Does that sound like a familiar scripture? To reign in this life with him, to reign in life. So that was the thing that I really wanted to address. I want to get rid of any fear-based mentality that's going to keep you from living the fullness of what he wants you to do here. Because in actuality, you are his church, and the church is his bride, and the church is his people, and the church is the Israel of God, first the Jew, then the Gentile. Are we getting that? So it's made up of Jews and Gentiles together as one body, reigning and living and co-heiring with him. Does that make sense? So this is who you are. You are the temple. And I just want to get off of obsessiveness about physical things and looking at physical things when Jesus says you are the temple, you'll tear this temple down, I'll raise up in 3 days. Well, he rose in the third day. Guess what? He's a temple. We are the temple of God with him. These are just little changes in paradigms and in the way that we think and the way that we do life together. I believe that the time of shorting or aborting the mission of the generation that follows us is over, because out of a fear-based mentality, we've stopped planning out 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years. We've stopped planning because every generation is living in a certain type of limited mindset. So whatever you believe in eschatology, I just want us to be open to the fact that God wants us to rule and reign with him on this earth now. Okay, is that, yeah. All right, so I'm glad we got that over with. Today, I want to talk about the way that we see ourselves and the way that we identify ourselves. So kind of going back to an identity message, but that's because, in my opinion, identity is one of the elementary principles of Christianity. I want us to get identity. I want us to get the new nature, because once we understand the new nature, then we can actually go beyond into true identity, which this was kind of laid before me recently. This is really neat. The proposal was that actually when we've been preaching identity, it's not technically identity, it's more the new nature, because we all share the same thing. We are this in Christ, we are that in Christ, we are this, you know what I'm saying, and all the truths that many of them we're going to talk about today. But there's a place of even further still, and that's God's heart for you and who you are personally and individually as part of the body. But I firmly believe that we can't even get to that point unless we really major and really get who we are in Christ together. Does that make sense? So, we begin to understand the new nature of who we are, and then once we have that, we can now no longer come to him in shame, guilt, and any attachments to what we see in the natural and the past. And now we could take the fig leaves off and actually go in to him in the intimate place behind the veil. Getting that? So a true identity would be like, okay, now that I have this past me, now that I have all the junk gone, now I can really come into this intimate place of intimacy and relationship with him and get his heart for me. Who am I? You know? Who is Brett? Who is Colleen? Who is Jeannie? Who is Truman individually with the Father so that he can show you everything to do and everything that you are in the way that he sees you personally as a son or daughter in Christ? But let's go back a little bit, and I'm going to start it with Let's see, I lost my notes, but really quickly before I came up, I got that scripture. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this, speaking of elementary, this is so simple, and we've all heard this before, so don't worry about turning there, but feel free to. I just really want us to get this, and I really want to get this. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Does anyone have a New King James Version Bible? Do you have it opened up to this scripture already? Go ahead.
All right, now I have to find it. Okay. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
I love that word, all. And I did look it up in the Greek, and yes, it does mean all. So behold, I am a new creation. All things have passed, all the old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. All, meaning this, this, and this, has become new. And I really feel that this has to be our reality. You know, there are those lyrics that John was singing before. I love it. It's, help me out, it's, your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You are my reality. So at what point do we allow his thoughts to truly become our reality? At what point do we define ourselves by his thoughts? And what I mean is this. Many of us have many struggles. And as we go through what we go through, I believe at least part, but at most I'd say the whole root of all of our issues that we perceive as issues. Because if we get this, then issues become not issues, but they actually become a challenge and a point of something that propels us into more of what he wants for us. But anyway, the heart of our issues stem on this very simple thing, that we define ourselves by what we see in ourselves. We define ourselves in what we observe in the mirror. We define ourselves by what we observe day to day, by what we do, and by what we've done. And the temptation is that, and it ends up being a trap, because at some point, the truth is that he says, you no longer are this thing, you are a new creation, so at some point, what he's done has to define what we, you know, who we are. Do you know what I mean? Like, so we look at ourselves, and we define ourselves simply by his record, his testimony, what we've done. Yes, and in doing so, we partake of the divine nature, Peter says. So when we do this, when we do communion, this is a beautiful way of actually engaging in this reality. This is one way. This kind of came to me before, because I'm looking at us doing this and I didn't get to do it. So now I get to do it with you all. And if you want to do it with me, you can go ahead and go grab the elements. But I love the fact that we get to engage in a physical thing that releases a spiritual reality in our life. I'm going to say this again. So what we do here in things like this, communion or even baptism, which we're going to talk a lot about in the next month, actually, the beauty is that you are engaging in the reality of what this represents. So is this literally the body of Christ? Like literally, like the bloody flesh, that would be really weird, right? But is this just a piece of bread? Well, physically it is, but what I'm doing is it's a symbol, but I'm engaging in my spirit in the reality of what this symbolizes. You see that? So when we're doing this physically, we are actually we're agreeing with and releasing the truth of God into our lives, physically, naturally. And by the way, if you need healing in your body, if there is something that you're struggling with mentally or emotionally or whatever, I encourage you to do this even more. And don't fall into the lie and the trap of like, oh, well, you know, many of you are taking communion in an unworthy manner. We could talk about that another time, but That's not what that means. If you are forgiven and in Christ and agree with what he's done in your life and you're ready to come to that, then you are ready to take the elements, okay? So what we do is something like this. Lord, we thank you for this bread and what this represents. Lord, this represents the greatest expression of love that we have ever known and ever will. This bread was broken for me. Lord, I thank you that you would put yourself on the line and that you saw something in me, that I was your treasure in the field, that you had to leave heaven to get me back, to restore me back to who I was always meant to be. I love Dan Moeller and Todd White when they say this. This is really good. It's from Dan Moeller. He says, you know that scripture, how it speaks of that he was marred beyond the description and marred beyond any has ever been, like, you know, damaged and marred before. That means like totally unrecognizable on the cross. It was more than just like some lashes and three nails. It was like marred beyond description. And he did this for us. So, and actually what that symbolizes is, according to them, and I love this, when sin got through with us, we looked nothing like we were always meant to be. We completely lost his image, and we looked nothing like he intended for us to be. We completely lost our original value, destiny, and image. And what he did was he set it aside. Philippians, right? He set it aside, laid it aside, and came in our image, under law, in the image of man. So he lost his glorious image so he can get our glorious image back. It was like the ultimate image exchange. So Lord, we thank you for this bread. We thank you for these truths, and just chock full of truth that we can engage with, that we can eat. You are the bread from heaven. You are the bread that came out of heaven, our manna, our daily bread, our revelation, the things that we understand to engage with completely brand new life. We thank you for these things, Lord, that we get to partake in, because you are what you eat. So let this symbolize the fact that he is your word, he is your truth, and that if that truth was written on the scroll, you would eat of the scroll. What does that mean? The truth becomes part of you. So Lord, let who you are, your word says, if I eat your flesh and drink your blood, I will live forever. I will have eternal life. He says it both ways. That means that as I'm doing this, I'm engaging the reality of life. You are life. I'm eating of the tree of life. So Lord, I gladly take this into me. Let your truth reign. And Lord, thank you that you prepare a table even before my enemies. That means whatever I'm going through, whatever opposition, despite of my circumstances, I can feast on you. And you prepare a table for me before my enemies, even in the middle of all of it. Lord, sometimes I know that the answer is that those things, those circumstances don't go away just right now. Sometimes I know the answer is that despite anything, despite being in the fire has nothing on me. And that you give me life within the fire, and you spare me from being burned in the fire, and you take me out of the fire, yes, but you meet me in the fire. So we thank you. Go ahead and take that bread.
Take your time.
Hang out in the sensations of something going down deep into you. Okay, and we thank you for the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant, Lord, you said it wouldn't be like the old, but it would be substantial in totally clearing and cleansing my conscience. Thank you, Lord, that this blood doesn't just cover my sins, it completely removes them. Thank you for what this means, Lord. Thank you that your word says that the life of a creature is found in its blood. That's why we were forbidden from drinking it. That's why we were forbidden from even going near it in certain ways. But your blood, you invite us to drink of, because the life of a creature is in its blood. The life, your life, is in the blood. And you invite us to have it, just like just like grapes, you know, in wine culture, you drink the grape and you taste the wine, right? And a good wine specialist will know everything about that season, that year, the record, like everything that those grapes went through. That, you know, they say it was the growing conditions that led up to the flavor and characteristics of that wine. So, Lord, we thank you that your very DNA, the divine DNA, the divine nature is found in your body and your blood. That your record is found in your body and your blood. And as we partake of it, we are saying that we agree with your record, not ours, but we're joining a new one. We're joining with the Lord. We are one in spirit with the Lord. And because of Jesus, now we have it inside of us and become it. Now your record becomes our record, and your story becomes our story. And this is one way that we could partake in your suffering. As Paul says, that we share in his sufferings. But Lord, we thank you for what this means, and we thank you that the beating that you took in your body was for healing in our bodies. So let this release healing into our bodies as we take this in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the life that is in these elements, your body and your blood. Go ahead. I wasn't originally planning on doing this, but isn't that kind of cool? I encourage you to do that often because it's just an amazing reminder. And just like you just ate that and it became part of you, and now your substance, the things that are keeping you going, you know, that's what food does for your body. It nourishes, and you know, your whole body kind of draws on the nourishment of what this is. And that's how we are in Christ. And we are inseparable because it's too late. I can't get that cup of grape juice back. I keep saying wine, but it's grape juice. Many of you should start using wine. Yeah, if you have any, have any inhibitions when it comes to wine, you should start drinking wine for that. And if you have, you know, just feel free to have a few. I'm serious. So I will hang out with Jesus, and my favorite way to take communion is with Jesus. I have to confess even to my wife that when they're gone, sometimes I just hang out with the Lord and I begin to worship and I take communion with him. There's no better way. There's no better communion table than when Jesus shows up and basically serves you himself. And he reminds you of the truth that he's putting in you. Wow, that's so good. And sometimes I'll just, you know, I'll use some real wine, a nice big hunk of good bread, good homemade bread, and a big double shot of wine because I want to feel the elements come into me because I want it to be my reality, right? You are my reality. I want these things to be more real to me than the air that I breathe. So what does it mean to be a new creation? It's kind of expression, a buzzword, but what does it really mean? Well, there's me. Many of you who have been following my drawing skills on these, it's actually declining as time goes on, but that's okay. There's me, okay? And I transitioned into this life. What I mean is we were all born, right, into this world. You know what Hannah told me this morning? She was like, I don't know why everyone has a problem like with age and like being old and, you know, like why everyone wants to dye their hair and stuff, you know, because I told her I was like kind of excited about these white hairs, whatever. And she was like, what did she say? It was the craziest thing that she said. She was like, unless you get old, you wouldn't even be born. And I'm like, what do you mean, kiddo? And she's, and I realized that she's saying like, unless you age and progress, you would just be hanging out in your mama's womb for good. I was like, yeah, that'd be boring. But we're learning and we're aging well, like the good way, the kingdom way, right? Like I respect people who are older than me just for that fact right off the bat because they know more, you know? I mean, that's awesome. What was my point? Anyway, so I was born into this world, into this matrix, into this world system. you know, every transition is through water. So I was born through water, right? We've talked about this before. I was kind of hanging out in my mother's womb in the amniotic fluid, right? Water, through water. Now, and actually we've talked about, you know, before that really cool thing that science is discovering where, you know, like the sperm meets the egg and then like there's literally like a detectable flash. There's like a light, a piece of like some energy, split second. They're like, whoa, like, because they can actually see it if they use the right technology. That's like amazing. And many of us believe that is that point of interface and union between the body, which is cells, and soul and the spirit. Beautiful stuff. But then I transition and I'm born through water into this place, right? And so I live my life. And either way, I live my life as someone who is doing good in his own terms. And so I'm progressing under some sort of moral code. You know, I would even argue that almost always it's at least loosely defined by the law, right? Because there's, you know, there are just those basic principles that most cultures take to be theirs, and it's just marked by failure after failure after failure. And I have this fight within me, and I'm trying to do the good thing, but I don't really have it in me because I'm still me. And because when I was born under Adam, okay? And then there's that point where we meet Jesus, and hopefully we meet someone who knows God. Knows God. And we say, I want to know what you know and who you know. Either way, even sometimes out of selfish ambition, just being honest, you know, we will come to that place of accepting Christ into our hearts or accepting him as Lord, all right? And here's the thing, guys. A lot of times we think of it or teach it this way, whatever, where, okay, there's pre-cross and post-cross, and are you living here or are you living there? And what I'm proposing to you is you should be living neither. I'll explain that in a second. But what we do is we preach going to heaven. We preach continuing in good works. And there's more to that. We preach if I'm being honest, it's a continuation of this trap of doing to be. I'm doing something to either accomplish something, or even post-crossed, I could be tempted to do things to justify what I say I believe. And I'm still trapped in that works-based mentality, and I'm still trapped in defining myself by what I'm going through instead of what he's been through. I'm stuck in defining myself in what I've done or what I'm doing, or, you know, what I've done today, what I haven't done today, instead of what he's done and living in the freedom that he calls me to. So let me just explain. So instead of living post-cross on the same line, right? A lot of us preach like gospel comes and your life will be better, right? Or you'll have a better day. And honestly, your life like will be better. I mean, how could be? Because the fact is, no matter what I'm going through, it's a good day every day in some way. That really rhymes. But there's so much more that he's calling to. And what I believe he's calling to is a completely different playing field. And I know I kind of have done this before, but I'm going to do it again. He calls us to live here. That means I have no right to define myself by what's happening here. Let me break that down a little bit. Sometimes we get really into bloodlines, and there's a lot of truth to that. It's all truthful, because what happens is if I follow this back, you know, you've got the family tree, you know, the craziness. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and wider all the way down to Adam, because I was born in Adam. And there's a lot of newer, you know, in recent years, a lot of understanding of from here now going back and dealing with this. And I want to encourage you to do so as he calls you to do so. Okay, I'm not gonna contend with that. I've seen amazing things happen. I've seen deliverances happening when we go back, especially through the lens of the cross. You don't want to go back without Jesus, right? Because, you know, and actually this is kind of like the old covenant, new covenant, same deal. You don't want to take on this thing because he says the old covenant is done away with. The intent and true Torah is forever. But the covenant and agreement with its conditions are done away with. Okay? Are we all on that same page? Because he says, I will do a new thing. I'll strike a new covenant, declares the Lord. It won't even be like the old. That's like a really hefty saying there. So we're not going back and we're not taking any of this with us. It would be baggage and it would be incomplete. And if there was no fault in this, he would never have brought a new one into place. It says in Hebrews. All right. So the same deal with your life. You never want to go back here except from Jesus. So many of us have learned bloodlines and curses and things that carry down through the different stuff that many of us have done. So in other words, like my past is defined by what I've done and what others who have come before me have done. This is a real, true, and spiritual principle. So now you're like dealing with all this stuff, whatever, and people are like, you know, really turning on to this, whatever. And it's good, but I want to propose an even higher principle, and that's that this now no longer is even a part of you because now you're operating here. And I really want us to get this because when you're operating here and you're engaging with the truth of who you now are, then who you aren't begins to melt off. That went over well. So when you are constantly being reminded and living and feasting off of the thing that he calls you, no matter what you see in your life right now, if you continue to do that by faith, because that's what faith does. Faith is the jump from here to there. You can't do it any other way. That's why we need born again, and born again is by faith. He tells Nicodemus, actually, you can't do this thing and enter into the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. And when you look at this, thank God. Thank God, right? So we're growing in the knowledge of how to deal with our past, and that's good. And this is still new in my understanding, but see, dealing with my past bloodlines is not part of my testimony to freedom. It's a part of others. And I know people in this room who have really benefited off going into the spirit realm and seeing what's here and cleaning it. So just hear me right. I'm not bashing that because that's kind of a new teaching that's taking things by storm, whatever. But I'm just saying my testimony is that I didn't even do that. That sounded, now looking back, that sounds kind of busy. It sounds like there's a lot of hunting and it just sounds like there's a lot of maze to go through. What I realized that I did just a few years back was I began to open my word. I began to read the Bible and I would do this in a way that it's hard to explain it, but I was just in this relationship with Holy Spirit, the author of these words, and these words popped out of my eyes, and I saw them. I'm like, I'm not just reading this in some religious way to try to memorize a promise that's mine. I'm reading this in a way that it becomes a part of me, that it becomes like what we just partook of. And I said, Lord, I'm reading this thing. I don't see this promise right now. I'm not even experiencing this promise. Far from it, man. I feel very far from it. However, there has to be a point, Lord, where your truth prevails. Your truth speaks louder than that. It has to be more powerful. Even if I'm experiencing something in like the most real way, your reality has to be my reality. The way that you see me has to define me. It just has to. So I would just begin to proclaim this, speak this over myself. It would feel silly sometimes, but I'd be like, okay, Evan, you are this, you are that. Maybe we'll do like a little practice in a little little while because I love when we get to share a practical application out of what we've, you know, what we all individually have benefited off of. So, but I would do this, and then months would pass, and then suddenly all the crap, all the junk would just begin to just melt. I didn't even realize it was gone. I was like, oh. I looked back, and I was like, oh, yeah, remember that thing right here? Ever? I was like, oh, it's back here now, you know, and I'm progressing, and it was just gone. And then, you know, the things that I thought I couldn't change about what I said, suddenly I'm like, and I would even say the thing, and I'm like, ooh, that just felt weird, you know? It felt like saying supercalifragilisticexpialidocious really fast, 10 times fast. It just didn't feel right anymore. So it was like, that was like done. So that's all I could say is that I've also done this, but the greater reality, the greater truth is just being allowing yourself to be born again and engage by faith with who you really are in the heavenly realm. So now you can rule and reign from this place. You're living from heaven toward earth instead of from earth towards heaven. Because, you know, you can do this or you could just do this. And that sounds really simple, and that's because it is. Okay, let's do. That's right. I keep forgetting. I have no notes to keep me on on track and in the right direction. That's okay. So I want us to get that because it's really important that we must have His eyes for our life. We must see what He sees, and there are different ways to engage in this reality and to partake of this reality. One of them we just did, which is communion, and the other. Let's just run an example. Are we like we're all good today, right? I mean, no pop. Who likes that new clock that we just got? That's amazing, man. Like, no guessing. Like, did you turn it back? Well, I guess you can still guess. But, like, it's that thing is, like, bright. It's, like, looking up into the heavens and the stars. Oh, it's, like, it's totally there. Like, that thing is, it was just hard to see. And, you know, especially when you're part of the digital age. That's a blessing. So now that it's 11:39. Let's just try this exercise. I hope everyone's feeling comfortable. Turn to Ephesians 1. Because this is one of the most important things I wanted to get at several months ago when the Lord put into my heart something important. He said that you are going to be a wrecking ball in the spirit in the next several months. I'm just being honest. I'm telling you what He told me. You are going to be a wrecking ball in the spirit to blast through, to break through some walls. Some of them will be easier than others, and the conclusive one will be the hardest. God is a really on target prophet, man. It's like really good. He was because he's right on. But this was one of the things that one of the sort of old mindsets that I wanted to really get us out of because I love the people, I love you. I love the circle of people that He's given me and I love me. I love us all together. And I love as you know that we learn these things together. And so if I experience something that's good, I mean, those who know me, I can't hold it in. I have to share it. Ephesians 1. And attached to this was the ability to discern righteousness, to understand really what righteousness is, right? And part of that is understanding the new covenant, the covenant that we have. We're no longer bound to the works of the law. Now the law, the very intent of the law is actually fulfilled in us. Yay, that's like really amazing. It's part of who we are. He fulfilled the law. And then in Romans 8, it says, now the righteous standard of the law is fulfilled in you when you walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. And in this, we also conquered certain other things like imagination. I really believe that He's teaching us more and more about imagination. It started about a year ago, about this time. I was really struggling because I wanted to see more. I wanted to activate and unlock the way that I see in the spirit. And I was like, okay, Lord, I don't want any of this to be my imagination. No imagination, no imagination. Just beat it down like we always have since we were like five since we were like two in Western culture. Imagination bad. And the Lord said to me very clearly, give me your imagination and I will sanctify it. And what that means, like we went through this whole teaching, what that means is just, you know, every Eastern culture understands this, okay? It is a theater screen of your mind and in your soul. And for God, for anything to be understood in the spirit, it's a very similar, I would argue, the same screen. I'm not saying there's not different sources, but unless you unlock and allow yourselves to see on that screen, then there's no way that he's going to be able to project or show you, unless it's an open vision, which I totally believe in, and those are amazing. He showed me what it was to unlock and have my imagination sanctified, and then I would progress in seeing, because I would see something, I'm like, oh, well, yeah, but that was definitely my imagination. To come to find out 20 minutes later, no, it wasn't. It was a detailed vision of what he just gave me, and it was just confirmed. So he wants to use your imagination. He wants to sanctify your mind and every part of it and every part of your soul. Scripture reference, 1 Corinthians 2, all about how, man, in the old, it was like, how great are your thoughts? How much greater are your thoughts and your ways above ours? Who could ever understand you? That kind of thing. But now in the new covenant, he actually invites us to have the mind of Christ. He says, who would even know the inner thoughts of a man except for the spirit of that man himself? I wouldn't know Truman's thoughts, usually. No, I'm just kidding. You usually do that to me. Truman's like, yeah, he's on me. So he's after it. So, but I can't know his thoughts, but Truman's spirit can know his thoughts. His inner man can know his thoughts because he's Truman. So likewise, Paul says, just like Truman, actually he doesn't exactly say that, but you know what I'm saying. Just like in that case, who can know the thoughts of God or the inner intents or attitudes or intents of his heart except for the spirit of God himself, right? Because he's God. Now God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us his Holy Spirit. So now we have his spirit. That's like crazy, amazing. Right? And then we talked about the soul because, for a while we believed, okay, well, there's spirit good, soul bad, right? Because an unsanctified pre-cross soul, well, there is a lot of junk, but actually, never mind. So, but in the soul, there is a lot of junk, right? But God says, scripture reference, I want you all to be sanctified through and through, spirit, soul, body. He made you, all three of you, if you see it that way. And what he made is good. The thing is that we need to be born again. And now when we allow ourselves to believe that, oh, wow, my soul can be sanctified and my soul can actually harbor good thoughts and I could have the mind of Christ and be transformed by the renewing of my mind, right? Now he can live in me. And another scripture reference, a house divided wouldn't be able to stand. So if it's really a matter of dual nature and soul versus spirit, then you're a mess, man, right? Like, no wonder why I'm a hot mess. I'm just like, I'm always thinking soul versus spirit. What's my spirit doing? What's my soul doing? And it's like this craziness. And then we bring forth this Jekyll and Hyde sort of syndrome into the body of Christ. And that just doesn't belong. It's not even scriptural. Then instead of the new nature, boom, right? Like we said before, we many times, unfortunately, preach a gospel that serves us instead of transforms us, right? Have a better day, full vats and barns, all these benefits, even going to heaven, all these things are true and they're good, but it misses the point because Christ says, anyone who would come after me must first deny himself and then come after me, right? Pick up his cross. Why? Because it's death, co-burial, co-resurrection. This is like really important stuff. So instead of the gospel just serving me, the gospel transforms me. No one promised you a better day or a better life. He promised you a brand new one. We've got to get that because all this is going from here to there. So we learn about the soul and the fact that we can be sanctified through and through. and not be divided in ourselves. And it is possible. It really is possible. But first, to be able to reap the rewards and the fruit, we must believe it, right? Because if we eat of the wrong tree, if we eat of the tree of performance and all that stuff, then we know what follows. That produces death. But when we're in life, we're in life. Okay, so let's talk about some practical application. One of the best things that I believe we can do for each other is just, you know, when one of you has a word, one of you has a song, one of you has an encouragement, share it, right? And this way, all of us in this room have something to contribute. You all are so amazing. And so this is one thing that I didn't practice this. It's just something that I do. So I'm just thinking, okay, let me go to one of my favorite areas of the Bible, and let's just go to Ephesians 1:3. And I just wanted to kind of walk this through with you. And this is how I do it, okay, for whatever that's worth. But in these truths, I just want to nail this in and also to stop preaching so I could actually get on with the exercise. Okay, so first, Ephesians 1, let's just start with 3. But first, take a big deep breath. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that as we read these words, it's just like when we took the bread and the juice. Lord, you are our living word. You are the manna. You are the bread of life that came down from heaven. And your words are spirit, they are truth, and they are life. So as I read these passages, however far I read, just walk me through them, Lord, and may it be like I'm partaking of you, because this is one way I could partake of you, Lord. Bless us, God. Bless us, Holy Spirit, the author of this amazing stuff. So, okay. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Think about that for a second. He has blessed you. Because instead of just saying, oh, wow, that's good, I can apply this to my life. How do I apply it to my life? To me, it starts with something like this. Lord, thank you so much, God, that you have blessed me in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's every. What a strong word. That is so amazing, Lord, because how can I ever feel a sense of lack when you have blessed me with everything? In you, I am like a king, the word says, and I am rich. And I am rich in the things of God. And I'm a priest after you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. I thank you so much, Lord, that you provide every single thing for my family in with every physical need. But help my perspective to be clear, because you place the emphasis on the heavenly things. As it goes in heaven, so it may go on the earth. But Lord, thank you that in Christ I lack nothing. Wow. So I just come into alignment with that. I apply this to my life, and that let this shape who I am, Lord. There is no lack. Even when a lie tries to come in and say, oh, well, you need to be a little more of this, you need to be a little more of that, Lord. I thank you that I am one in you. I stand in Yeshua. I stand in the provision of heaven. I stand in Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, the very essence of who you are. I get to be in the center of, and your character and your nature. I get to even just stand in there and become more and more like you. How could I have any want when you are my shepherd and you live in me? Okay, so that's like one quick example. For you, it's gonna sound completely different, perhaps. But that's one example of like one thing that you can read. And to me, you know, like when I practice this, it just awakens something. It awakens my spirit, and it's almost like my spirit. You know, out of my spirit, man, I have these words, which are spirit. They flow into the rest of me, like into my soul, and then even into my body. This is powerful stuff, but we're not going to be able to benefit off of it until we become like a child and make it so in our life, right? So my daughter, if you know, when she was 3, if I ran in the house, I'm like, Hannah, there's a crazy 15-foot green monster with red eyes outside, she would believe. There's no question. She wouldn't be like, "Oh gosh, Dad," like she would now. But she would really buy it, right? She would know it. That's her reality, right at that moment, and it'd be a scary one. But I don't know why I used the green monster, but like it just is what it is to her. Okay, that's how we are to be with the Word. You must become like a child to enter the kingdom, right? So that's the faith of a child. So what would happen is I would just enter into these facts, these promises, these truths, and this happens as I do. Because it becomes my reality. Again, I'm partaking and engaging with what's here. Okay, this is the real me. Because I have joined a completely new bloodline, by the way. This is no longer my bloodline, right? Because we are new. We have died with him. We have resurrected with him. And so now we're defined by a whole new bloodline. We are, in Romans 8, it says that in a way, but it doesn't even say in a way. It says that you are brothers with Christ. Man, that's heretical, Evan. Well, I know. The Bible gets really heretical sometimes. It's crazy. You are brothers with Christ, co-heirs with him. So the Son, Jesus, made room or made way for many sons to come into glory, it says in Hebrews. So I am part of a new family. I've been adopted in as a son, and so now I'm defined by this line. That's no longer my line. To tell you the truth, guys, like this is getting so strong in me that I even have trouble talking about my natural heritage. And I know it's probably not necessary. And, you know, the Lord's walking me through like, okay, Evan, it could still be fun to enjoy the traditions of the Greeks and the Italians and all that good stuff, especially the food. But it doesn't define you. And I love that you're getting onto that. Right. So this is a really good thing. I'm no longer bound by the works and the sins of my fathers. And when the enemy tries to tell you that you are, you can go this way or you can go that way. Because again, the more you engage with who you really are, who you really are not anymore begins to melt off. I just say melt because that's what it felt like for me. Okay. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. This is good. This is good news because I have been adopted into a new family. And now I can literally partake and live out of the divine nature, if we only knew. Because besides the brother of Christ, you're also the bride of Christ. So, because this is all typological, this is all a picture, the closest picture we can use with earthly terms. So, what are we also? We are the bride of Christ. When you're the bride of Christ, that means you're part of a divine family. I don't even think we're ready for some. It's just like it's amazing, guys. The implications of this are amazing, and many of us are still walking around thinking that, oh, I got to deal with my dual nature of sin or indwelling sin. These are like the catchwords that I've heard growing up all the time, and that was the reason. That there was the explanation of why I always struggled. No one told me that is actually for the past, and now I'm starting new life anew, new nature, and new creation gospel of who I am in Christ. All right, let's continue just for a few more minutes, and then we'll wrap it. But anyway, so that was, I didn't even finish, I barely finished verse 3. And that's what it would do for me. So, okay, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Wow. That we should be holy and blameless before him. So Lord, then this is what it does to me. It messes me up, guys. I'm sorry, it just messes. Like, I have been brought to tears by like a half a verse. Because when we take it like a child and we're like, oh my gosh, this is true. Like, this is my reality. Oh my God, I can't take it anymore. It's like, it's like the truth of Jesus, putting on or taking off really, the wardrobe and putting on the position of a servant, gets down on his knee to clean Peter's feet, to wash Peter's feet. And Peter's like, oh my gosh, I can't bear it, And he's like, well, I need to do this. Oh, I don't know. That's how I would be. It just gets better and better. Okay, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. So, Lord, I thank you so much that this is something you had in mind, not just for a little while, not just from what I can remember in my present state of consciousness, but you had me in mind since before the foundation of the world for me to walk blameless and holy before you. I feel nothing like that right now, Lord, as an example, but this must become my reality because you say it's true. If you say it's true about me, Lord, this is what I take on. So I align by faith right now, my mind, my will, my emotions, my soul, my spirit, my body even, to take on the truth that I am holy and blameless before you. That means without sin. You don't see me by the things that I've done. You only see me by these eyes. Thank you, Lord. That's incredible truth that no one could ever see but you and those who are in you. So I thank you for the reality that sin and all its effects have no part in me. Try speaking that over yourself a whole bunch when it comes to physical things, right? Because sin or healing and forgiveness go completely hand in hand. Right? In the Bible, he says, forgive and healed. And, you know, it was in James, you know, go to the elders and they'll pray over you and you'll be forgiven. Well, oh, well, thanks, but I was coming for healing. Well, healing will follow. Why? Because when you're forgiven, when sin is removed from you, because that's what Jesus does, that's the power of the blood, then that means all the effects of sin must be removed from you as well. So you stand on that truth. When you stand forgiven, blameless, and holy, that's a powerful thing because that sin cannot affect your body anymore. Lord, I stand in faith that my body is unhinged and unaffected by sin. I thank you, Lord, right now for your healing power within me, God. And it wasn't even just me looking for an impartation or a blast from the latest and greatest speaker or healing evangelist, but it's just understanding your word, your truth of who I am. And wow, I'm feeling in my body right now. And actually, I literally am. I've been having problems with my left leg and it's literally feeling more loose because I'm coming into the truth of his word. You all can do this and partake in it. We are going to a further place in the spirit with him, further than even what we've known before as a church. Okay, we have been blessed and privileged with the charge of leading things as it pertains to things of the Spirit and prophecy. I believe that he's bringing us further, guys. He's bringing us into maturity. That was the whole point of the prophets and the apostles and the rest of the fivefold, which was to bring us into maturity and unity. So we're going to begin to see many amazing things transition here. I believe this is my heart for this church. Why'd I even get on that? How did I get on that? That's amazing. But Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing here. We thank you, God, that there is so much more. There is the prophetic, and then there's beyond the prophetic. Yes, I said that because there's a better way. Because Paul said there is. I'll show you an even better way. That way is love. That way is love. That way is the heart of God. That way is becoming the very nature and character of God, which is his love. If I walk in his love, then I will receive words. I will receive vision. I will be prophetic. And the cool thing is when I'm prophetic, it will be delivered with the right heart. That's really important. Like, really important, as many of you know and have seen. That's all I got. I was actually planning on doing the whole... the whole chapter, but there's a really good example of what I mean, it's just so fun. I could just keep going through and I'm like, yay, you know, I'm not even done with that one yet. So I just wanted to, did that help anyone at all today? Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Because that's the simplicity of this thing, guys. I'm learning more and more. The more I learn, two things. I don't care how great the revelation is, if it's not met with love and with the heart and character of God, it's useless. Okay? And number two is it is so simple. So simple. The further I get, the more I see, the more I've been unlocked to see more things in the heavenlies. I mean, I'm engaging more in my heavenly reality, the inheritance that God says is mine, which we're going to be walking through together in the months to come. But the more I see, the more simple it becomes. I heard someone say one time that if a kid can't really understand what you're preaching, then you're probably not preaching the gospel. It should be simple. And so for me, this, like I often say, is offensively simple. But I want us to understand that we have a greater reality. And may his thoughts define us, truly, truly define us. And may his thoughts, since we're in the new covenant, may his thoughts be our thoughts. What a prayer. Lord, may your thoughts be our, be my thoughts. May what you see be what I see. May I please, Lord, align myself. Could I just, that I would see what you see in myself and others and in the world around me. Isn't that like one of the best things that you could possibly pray? Because you could pray for the circumstance to change, but what about his eyes in the midst of it? Because then you could focus on what he's doing, where he's going. So in this world around us, now we can see things, right, that are happening. And instead of discouragement, instead of fear, instead of anger, political rage, everything that you might be feeling, now you can see with the very perspective of God and see what he's doing in the midst of that thing. So Lord, may your thoughts define us truly. You're inside us, truly. And you are our reality, Lord. Let's pray. I'm going to land it there because otherwise I don't land. So Lord, we thank you so much, God, for what you're showing us, Lord. I know that we've kind of touched on this before, Lord, but I know that I needed to hear some of these things like several times to get it, Lord. So may there be just a quickening of this word, and may we understand the simplicity of the gospel, Lord, and never make it anything more complicated than it needs to be, Lord. Paul was afraid of one thing. He said, one thing I fear. It's like the only time I ever heard him say fear, that he fears something. And that was that the church would, just like Eve was deceived by the serpent, we would make this gospel more complicated than it really is. Lord, bring us back to the roots of the simplicity, of the newness, of our new creation, our new nature, Lord. That we are new, that we are brand new. We are a new prototype. We are going back to the original image and value and intent that you had for us since the beginning. Thank you, Lord, that we get to represent you. And I just thank you for this word, Lord, and I thank you for the acceleration that's happening within the body of Christ, Lord. We join in. May we lead the charge. May we be as one, and may we all be willing to take risks in growth, risks in coming to understand new revelation and new things, and risks in stepping out in faith into the unknown, no matter where we are at individually, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that in truth is where we find freedom. For the truth will set us free. So Lord, I just release freedom in this place, God. I know it's just about over, but just stay silent for a minute and just allow God to speak to you about what you're going through, no matter what your challenges are. I know many of us have them. Just let him speak to you. Because we're in a place of truth right now, and I believe full-heartedly that the truth will set us free, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So just take a minute. This was unexpected, but just take a minute, and then I'll wrap it. Does anyone have anything they want to share? So I always like opening that up real fast, and since we're on time. anything that is has been revealed to you in the last hour, anything that is burning in you right now, any truth, no pressure, it's all good if no one has anything, but just wanted to open that up.
When I was on the stage this morning, the Lord, in one of the songs, I kept hearing, bold as a lion, gentle as a lamb, perceptive as an eagle, and strong as an ox. And I said, I came back to my seat and I said, that's the four animals in the seraphim, but the man, has the lamb, has taken the place of the man. And I looked at it and I said, what characteristic of man did you mean that it was like a lamb? And of course the gentle was foremost in my heart, and he said creative. And the Lord is just sharing with me about the nature. I was going to give this word to Jeremy because it goes along with what I told him about the nature and the gentleness and the characteristics of God. And I was talking with Patrick and he pointed out a scripture. I'm not going to make it lengthy, but it's 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And if you think about in this context of what God is saying, I think these four things, the man as he should have been, which God has kind of given me a list. Should I read it? Soft, loving, polite, thoughtful, amiable, delicate, benevolent, discreet, sensitive, modest, holy, fresh, playful, kind-hearted, and respectful, tender-hearted, and benevolent. And on the other side, the creative is generative. That's an interesting word. I had to look it up. Passionate, clever, nurturing, resourceful, poetic, inspirational, musical, innovative, original, visionary, inventive, and vibrant. And that's just the beginning. It doesn't even include any of the bold or perceptive or strong. And it barely touches on the gentle or the man, what he should have been, what he can be. So I wanted to share that, and I thank the Lord for giving me an opportunity.
Wow. Anyone else? Good? Okay. Have an amazing day, amazing week. Hope we all live from this place. And we thank you, Jesus, for a born-again experience and a brand new life. And make sure you grab some onions on the way out.